Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 18 of the Big Apple Sports Media Podcast. My name is Anthony Evangelista. As always, I'm here with Kyle Keegan. How are you today, Kyle?
Feeling good. Had a week off. Stressful week. We took a mental health break. Kind of threw a curveball to you guys, but there's really not much going on anyway. So yeah, we took a mental health break, but we're back.
Yeah. So a very interesting week in terms of both of our lives and both of.
And New just York the lives. Election.
Let me say that.
Yeah, and like yeah, the election. It was a good time to take a week off because exactly. Hopefully we have a lot of NBA stuff coming soon, like really soon. We're gonna get to talk about basketball soon, and we have not done that yet on the show, which is real exciting.
Very exciting.
NHL next month and basketball next month, but a lot of basketball offseason stuff is about to kick in. Giants and Jets aren't doing much as usual. We're gonna recap those games today, but I mean. There's news, like, you know, it is what it is, but like with the election and just personal stuff for the both of us, took a week off, but we're back. We're not going anywhere. We're going to still talk about it, even no matter how painful and miserable it is. But actually, I feel like we're both in pretty good spirits this week.
Definitely. I mean, this week in terms of New York football has been 1,000 times better than it has been this entire season whatsoever.
And that's even though the Jets lost. Like,
look. Okay, so, you know,
let's talk about the Jets. Let's talk, because that was last night. So, like, we can just get right into the Jets.
Okay, so during the game last night, as Kyle could probably let you know, I fell asleep.
He missed. If the Jets won, we would have had, like, a midnight recording. Like, it would have been. No, but
I didn't fall asleep. I was just kind of, like, dozing off here and there and then waking up.
I know the feeling. We all know the feeling. Yeah.
But I was able to catch a good majority of the game, including the very last few minutes of it. So I'm just going to go ahead and say the Jets were up.
They were up 10 in the fourth.
Yeah. So the fact that they had a lead and they were able to score more than 10 points and more than one touchdown was absolutely shocking. Like I saw the first touchdown that the Jets had and I was amazed by it. I was like, we really haven't seen any of that this year. And then when I believe it was, I don't know if the second touchdown was Perriman or Crowder, but
I think the second touchdown was Crowder and the first was Perriman.
Okay. Because
Perriman had two.
Crowder's touchdown in the back of the end zone. I literally jumped up and like hugged my dad. Cause it was like, we actually,
that was the one when I FaceTimed you, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Because
that one was exciting.
Unjet-like. Like that's
dude, okay. I don't want to make any like speculation about it, but dude, like Joe Flacco played really well.
Look, there's that one video.
He played better than Sam Darnold has played in any game this year. And I get it. This was the first game with Perriman, Mims and Crowder all year, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah,
that's. But still, he played really well. Joe Flacco was hitting his passes, no turnovers. 240 yards, three touchdowns. He was throwing some dots down the field, too.
At the beginning, he was. The fourth quarter, he threw a pick. And then just – okay, so I'll get into that, though. I just want to say that it's extremely funny that there's a video going around from an old – I think it's a YouTube video – of Donald Trump calling Joe Flacco an elite quarterback.
Oh, my God. I saw that on Twitter.
But
what a time to be alive, dude.
Resurfacing right now, which is very funny. Regardless, I think that Joe Flacco proved to have a very good game. I think that also might, of course, like what you said before, it's Mims, Crowder, and Perriman all playing for the first time this season. But the fact that they were able to do this Patriots defense that's known to be very, very good. Obviously, they didn't have Stephon Gilmore. But the fact that they were able to get past this Patriots defense and score, what was it, 27 points? I don't remember what the final score was.
27. They lost 30-27.
So the fact that they were able to put up that number of points is unheard of for this Jets team this season. And I was very happy with the results of that. And, you know, I obviously am hoping for the number one pick. I'm hoping that the Jets are able to land. I don't know if it's Trevor Lawrence. I don't know if they're going to trade it. We'll get into that.
We're at the point where for the Jets, like for Giants, the Trevor Lawrence ship has sailed for us weeks ago. For the Jets, we are officially on the Trevor Lawrence tank, both of us. I want Trevor Lawrence in the Big Apple because it's good for content.
No, 100%.
It's good for the show. Oh, my God, I just realized something. We have Mets news.
We do. We do have
Mets news. We're going to talk about that at the end. I just remembered that. Okay, we'll talk about that at the end, but we do have Mets news. That's actually hype. We can talk about baseball for the first time in like a month. I love that. But
I forgot about that. Wow.
Yeah, no, seriously. That really all happened today. That really all happened under our noses. This is what happens when we take a week off. Mm-hmm. But
okay, so let me
I have a few Jets questions for you. Yeah, I have a few Jets questions. So like, do you want to go 0-16? Like you want one win, right?
I think that if we were to win last night, if we were to pull out a win, whether that be from a Nick Folk missed field goal or just something with the Jets, I would want it to be against the Patriots or the Browns. So I know that the Jets play – I'm pretty sure the Jets play the Browns later in the season.
They do. It's actually – it's funny you say that because they play the Browns week 16 and the Patriots week 17.
Look, if they were to win one or both of those games and still have the ability to get the first pick in the draft, which I think is possible considering that right now it's pretty much just the Jets for Jacksonville, I'm completely okay with that.
I think the Jets are worse than Jacksonville too.
Yeah. I think that the Jaguars have potential in some set where – obviously, they're not a good team, but they have the potential to be a good team faster than the Jets do.
Well, they've had a ridiculous fall from grace. Like 3 years ago, they were like minutes away from the AFC from the Super Bowl, an AFC championship. That's a crazy fall from grace right there.
Blake Bortles almost led a team to a Super Bowl. That's so weird.
That's how good that defense was that year, man. That defense was so good. But
the defense, I can't imagine how good that team would have been if they had an actual quarterback at the helm. I think they would have won the Super Bowl. I was rooting for them this year or that year, that just because I didn't want the Patriots.
I didn't want the Patriots or the Eagles to win. That was the worst Super Bowl I've ever watched in my life. And by the way, once we get on the Giants, it's Eagles week again. So be prepared for this Eagles fan slander because it'll be around in like 5 to 10 minutes.
Understandable. But, yeah, so any other Jets questions?
I mean, that was, like, the main one. Okay. Oh, yeah. Here's another one. Darnold or Flacco for the rest of the season? And because I know that we already talk about Trevor Lawrence a lot, so, like, because we're going to continue to do that. Obviously, I feel like that's what we both want right now for the Jets. For the rest of the season, as of right now, you're sitting at 0-9, bye week next week. We don't know what the deal is with Darnold's injury right now. But Flacco played pretty well. Only one – I lied. He did have one turnover at the end. It was that pick that kind of set everything into motion.
And here's the thing. That pick, I don't know how true this is because it was tweeted by Manish Mehta, but the fact that pick was called – so most of the game was called by Dowell Loggins, the offensive coordinator.
That pick was called by Gase?
That pick was called by Gase.
Oh, my gosh. I knew that that's where you were going with this, but I didn't hear that, but I'm not surprised. But anyway, the question is Flacco or Darnold for the last 7 games?
Okay, so here's the thing. I feel like you can't not go Darnold in this situation. One, because if you're going to go for Trevor Lawrence in this draft or try to draft a quarterback, if that's not Lawrence, whether that means that you don't get the first pick or he decides to go back to Clemson for another year, I think that it's important that you give Darnold that time on the field where it's not like you're just benching him. And yeah, obviously we're still unsure about what's going to happen with his injury. And it's not really, like, out to the public whether or not he's going to be able to – I mean, he'll be able to come back this season, but I don't know about, like, full health, whatever. He's obviously still going to be recovering from it. It's been plaguing him for a while.
Right.
But I think that in terms of how well he plays determines, one, his trade value. I mean, if in the event that the Jets draft Trevor Lawrence, they're going to not hold on to Darnold most likely. It'll be similar.
Yeah, it wouldn't make any sense. Like, it'd be like a Josh Rosen type deal in Arizona. Exactly. Like, you got to get rid of that guy.
Because right now, I think that if the Jets were to – I mean, obviously the trade deadline's passed, whatever. But I think if the Jets were to right now say, hey, what can I get for Sam Darnold? I think the most that you're going to get is maybe a third-round pick.
Yeah, that might be optimistic too. Like, he is very low value right now.
Which is and, like, great. Believe me, I think that as soon as he gets to another team, he's going to play lights out. He's going to be a Pro Bowl quarterback. But
I see him as like a Matt Stafford, Derek Carr type where he could be like an under-the-radar great quarterback in this league, but like no one could really ever notice. But like in the system that he's set in right now, he has no chance to succeed, which is sad to be honest. But
I think that going into the league, he had the same ceiling as Joe Burrow, has the same ceiling this year. But I think that it's much more likely for Burrow to hit that ceiling in terms of how – I don't know, but just the idea that they both came in, they're highly touted. Obviously, Burrow had a much more successful college career and was very evident in the fact.
Thing about Burrow that like intrigues me at least is that like he won at that level. Like he was a winner. Yeah. You know, like that's like not only was he incredibly. That's the thing about Trevor Lawrence too. Like, dude won a national championship in a blowout fashion as a freshman. And like, here's the thing. Like, no Sam Darnold slander here whatsoever. Trevor Lawrence could be a generational type guy. Like, I don't want to put him up there with like Mahomes, like Wilson-esque, but like I've just heard a lot of good things, and I saw him play live against Syracuse last September.
That's
and
so boy, fun.
He lit up the carrier dome, dude. It was he's incredible. Like his intangibles, man. And I he didn't play this week, but that Notre Dame game, oh, like off topic, but that Notre Dame
that was game, that was a great game.
What a game. Yeah, but yeah, dude, like Trevor Lawrence, like that's just if the Jets are gonna get the first overall pick, and they probably will, it's impossible to pass up on that. You just can't. You have to take the best player, especially when it's a quarterback.
Mm-hmm. No, I completely agree. I completely agree with that. So with Darnold, I don't know. See, I feel like it's
a weird situation now.
No, but
like,
you can't go play.
If the Jets are 3-6 or like 4-5 or whatever, we're not having this discussion. Like we're still pulling Nathan Darnold. Like,
look, as of right now, Darnold is your franchise quarterback. And obviously, like that's still up for debate. That's still going to be a very big question heading into the offseason. But I feel like you have to give him the opportunity right now to play out the season to see how he does. You can't just give up on him right now and be like, okay, you're done for – you're not going to play another down as a Jet. Like, I feel like that's one unfair to him. That's not going
to look good. That's just counterproductive to anything the organization.
It's not going to look good for the team.
It also would plummet his value slightly.
Exactly. I mean, obviously the Jets aren't planning on cutting Sam Darnold. So they're going to need – look, I think that if the Jets were to go into next season with Sam Darnold, someone like a Jamar Chase in the first round, and then – I think that the Jets are going to end up with the first pick, whether or not they decide to take Trevor Lawrence or trade it away, or if Trevor Lawrence is even going to be available in terms of if he goes back to Clemson or whatever. That's still a question, but I think that – I don't know. I feel like
– he goes back to Clemson, dude. They already have that Hawaiian – they have that Hawaiian kid lined up.
Well, I think that
– who also played really well.
In the event of anything happening, I think that if the Jets were to stick with Sam Darnold into next season with new weapons, hopefully, a new coach, hopefully, and give him one last shot, I would rather have Trevor than him, but I feel like if the opportunity is right, Sam Darnold can have another chance.
Okay, so let's say the Jets finish miraculously 3-13 or 4-12 and end up with the fourth or fifth pick, which would be a disaster.
Yeah,
at this point. I mean, when you start 0-9, you got to finish the tank. But would you want Fields or Darnold in that instance? That's like, a tougher one.
I feel like with Lawrence, it's kind of a surefire. Like, you know that you're not going
You know what you're getting probably. Yeah. Like, you're right. Like, he's a surefire top-of-the-line prospect. Nobody disagrees with that. Justin Fields might be more of a toss-up, especially the way Ohio State's been producing quarterbacks.
Like, I feel like with Lawrence and Fields, it's very similar to the situation this past year with Burrow and Tua Tagovailoa, because obviously Tua was injured, and that's a very big difference than Justin Fields just being.
Tua beat my boy Kyler Murray the other day because the Cardinals' field goal, their kicker sucks. That's why.
Gonzalez. No, but
he's ass, dude. He did it against the Seahawks, too. I've been low-key rooting for them just because Kyler Murray's on, like, three of my fantasy teams. And as you know, I love him. But, yeah, he's ass Zane Gonzalez. That's all I'm going to say. But continue.
So, I think that with Burrow and Tua, Burrow is kind of seen as, okay, he's the surefire number one pick. He's going to go into this league and he's going to dominate. Tua, right now, he's got a lot of potential. But we don't know where he's at. And obviously, they had concerns about the injury. That's not as much of a problem right now with Justin Fields because he's not injured. But the fact that he's not completely proven yet is very similar. So just I'm going to place that analogy. Like, Burrow and Lawrence are both proven number one picks.
No doubt about it. They're going to have success in the NFL.
Yes.
Fields and Tua. I like how Tua has been playing recently. I mean, I don't like to see it per se just because the Dolphins own the AFC East, but I like his play. I picked him up in fantasy. He's a good, I don't know. I just think that.
I mean, he's just, there's no other way of putting it other than that he's just looked good.
Yeah. But the point that I was trying to get across is that into the draft, he wasn't proven. And that's why I think that the Jets, like, look, I think Justin Fields could be a very good quarterback in the NFL. But if the Jets were choiced with picking either him or staying with Sam Darnold for another year and picking a receiver or somebody that could actually help the team, I think I would go with anybody else.
I think that's the right answer because you're right. Like, honestly, like, Tua was kind of like a hit or miss, and we don't know how it's going to be yet, as opposed to, like, Burrow is a safe first overall pick. Lawrence is a safe first overall pick.
Exactly.
Like, I understand what you mean there. Like, the Jets need to, like, I mean, up until last night, it seemed like they kind of just weren't even close as an organization. So they just need to build around a lot of things. But, yeah, I mean, do you have any more Jets stuff to add before we talk about the Giants game or no?
Well, the end of the game was disappointing, obviously, but
– barely even talked about the game itself. Yeah. Games don't even matter.
But. Exactly. Well, look, the Jets lost, which, I mean, obviously I'm not happy about, but I can't say that I was disappointed. And Nick Folk saved the Jets once again. He did it back in 2010, and he's doing it again. So I think that the fact that the Jets lost was probably the best thing.
Honestly, it could be a franchise-changing field goal. Like, the way, if you honestly look at it, like, it really could be.
So I just got to thank Nick Folk for making that. But I think that with the Jets in that situation, obviously they didn't make the decision. But the fact that they were able to lose that game while keeping it close, those are the best kind of losses for me. Because I'm numb to the pain of being a Jets fan right now where I don't care how much they lose by. But the fact that they were able to make it a good game, they had some flashes of potential. Flashes of mediocrity instead
of just enjoy the game against a rival on Monday night. Like, it's just, it was a fun game. It was a fun game to watch. Like, I said to myself, like, well, if the Jets win, I need to record, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And they were winning at halftime. And I was like, well, now I got to stay up for this godforsaken game. And then I ended up actually enjoying it.
Because it was
Sunday night football this week sucked so much. Yeah.
So yeah, that's all I got for the Jets. The Jets right now,
they have a bye week.
We're going into their bye week. And then after that, I believe they play Miami. So.
Yeah, I think so. I think.
Yeah. Right. So that'll be a fun game. We get Darnold possibly.
No. We're wrong. They play the Chargers and then they play the Dolphins.
Okay. Yeah. No, that's because.
So they get Herbert and then Tua on back-to-back weeks. That's kind of cool. Fun. Yeah. Interesting.
I like Herbert this year.
Yeah. I mean, I've been saying, this is a perfect transition to the Giants. I've been saying that the Giants should have taken defense Josh Allen 2 years ago and waited for Herbert this year and let Eli have a proper farewell. But whatever, what's done is done.
My friend
Giants won.
Back thing.
Same yeah, I know. Thing,
Josh Allen and then get Herbert.
I mean, yeah, like, that is what it is. But can't complain anymore. The Giants won. The Giants have 2 wins.
Proud of you.
They're both against the Washingtons. Nothing. Oh, this is a good thing. This is a good stat. Second time Daniel Jones has not had a single turnover in his career. And look at that, 2-0 when he doesn't. Isn't that awesome?
Proud of you as a Giants fan.
Dude, he got blindsided, rocked on like the last offensive possession the Giants had. And he held onto the ball and he took the sack. And then obviously the Giants defense played out of their minds. First of all, we can both agree on this. Prayers up for Kyle Allen, wishing for a speedy recovery.
Yeah, of course.
That's a terrible injury to have. It sucks. It sucks to see, even against your rivals. Like, it just, you know, it's not fun to see that. But the flag on that play was some BS, because Jabril Peppers, who, by the way, has been playing ever since he gave up that Boston Scott touchdown and I ripped him to shreds, he's playing really well. So
he had a great game.
Yeah. I have a fantastic analogy. I'm convinced, and I tweeted this, that Gary Sanchez and Evan Engram are just the same person.
I can see that. I understand.
Think about it. They are the same player. like so much potential, usually just ends up pissing off the entire fan base, despite the fact that they've shown great flashes of talent. Incredibly frustrating to watch because they just look completely lost at the time. Yet they have their moments where you're just like, wow, there's the talent. And his moment was he got his first passing touchdown of the year or receiving touchdown of the year, diving catch, incredible play. Later on in the second half, drops a wide open first down catch that would have put the Giants in field goal range and a chance to go up 16. But instead, he dropped it and then it was fourth down. And then the Washington scored. it was a close game. I mean, the Giants were up 20-3 at the half and they won 23-20. So like I've been saying, like, I can't help, but like, this is just going to sound like me bitching and moaning, but I can't help but feel like the Giants could potentially be on like a 5-game win streak right now.
They blew it.
Okay. Hear me out first. They blew it in Dallas, but like they got screwed hard by the refs. They got 2 touchdowns taken off the board plus a missed holding call on that final drive. And then they beat Washington the first time. And then they beat themselves in Philadelphia. And then Daniel Jones lost it on Monday night. And we didn't even talk about that game because, like, obviously we didn't record last week. But that was probably Daniel Jones' worst game as a Giant, in my opinion. If he played even remotely average, the Giants won that game by a lot because he missed so many throws and had too many turnovers. And that final play was just the icing on the cake. But, yeah, that was a crappy game, but then he rebounded with not a sexy stat line for Daniel Jones. 212 yards, 1 touchdown, but he facilitated the offense really well. They had 5 scoring drives. 3 of them were field goals, but they were like long field goals. So like it wasn't like he was failing in the red zone, and no turnovers, which is just, like I said, that's a huge deal.
Something you don't see very often.
Yeah.
I think that it's very funny that in his career – Daniel Jones is 4-0 against Washington and then, 1-16 versus every other team?
Yeah, he is. And the funniest part, well, tragic actually, is that he's like 0-6 against the Eagles and Cowboys.
That's
so, like, it literally just counteracts into a negative because, like, yeah, he kills Washington, but, like, who cares? If the Giants have stooped so low as a franchise that we're satisfied with going 3-13 to 5-11 every year and sweeping Washington – then that's pathetic. Because they're literally our most irrelevant rivals. No offense to them, but they are. Like, they're kind of like the Dolphins, I guess, before Tua. They're just irrelevant all the time. Because, like, the Jets and Giants, no matter how bad they are, I don't think people really understand this. They play in the biggest media market in the world. They're always going to be relevant. People never shut up about how bad the Giants and Jets are. Like, because people love to – yeah, it's just – they play in the biggest market and they'll always matter and they'll always be relevant. Like, Washington hasn't been good in a long time. Then again, neither have the Cowboys, but the Cowboys are famous because of different reasons. And Palpatine over there up in Jerry World. And
look, okay, so I'm going to go back on what you said before with the
fact. I'm all over the place right now. I'm not going to lie.
But you said that you think that the Giants could go on a 5-game win streak.
No, I said they should be on a 5-game win streak, not that they will, because they have tougher games coming up. I'm prepared for them to get blown out. Like, I remember in our season preview, we were talking about how they need to get off to a good start if they want any shot. Like, they still mathematically have a shot.
I was about to reference the season preview. I'm pretty sure that I had them starting out really badly and then going on like a 5-6-game winning streak. Or something like that.
You had them starting off like 1-4 and then going like 7-4. That's exactly what you, something ridiculous like that.
Look, I had the Giants finish at 6-10 in our predictions. I still stand by.
I mean, they could go 6-10.
I think that they could. I think that the Giants can. It's so weird to say just because like how much we've been trashing them this season. But the fact that
they're a complete dirtbag organization right now.
Giants. I hate that I'm saying this. The Giants could be a playoff team, and they should not have anywhere near a chance to be a playoff team. But because of how crappy your division is, you have a shot.
I'll tell you what. If the Giants beat the Eagles next week and they beat the Cowboys in week 17 and somehow manage in that 5-game sandwich between those games to win 2 out of 5 against the Bengals, Seahawks, Cardinals, Browns, and Ravens – which is not an easy task. But if they win 2 out of those 5, plus the 2 divisional games, they will win the NFC East.
They may not even need those two games.
No, like, they're not going to go 4-0. They need to win for safe purposes. I'll say they need to win at least two games of those two out of five in that sandwich there. I mean, the Eagles, the difference between the Giants and Eagles is that they both really, really suck. The Eagles have been winning more of their close games because they have a more put-together team in the fact that that team has a core that's been together for 4 or 5 years now. They have a head coach that's been the head coach for 4 or 5 years now. And I don't think that they're all that more talented than the Giants. I just think that they're better at, like, piecing together wins because obviously they've got some pieces still from a team that literally won a Super Bowl. And they just have – they're more well-rounded because of the fact that they have more experience as opposed to the Giants having a much younger, inexperienced team. And then they can't win close games yet, and we have a young quarterback. So as much as it pisses me off that the Giants are losing these close games, I understand it. And, like, if they were better closers, which obviously that's the hardest part of the game, they'd be 7-2. But, like, obviously that's unrealistic. They're not a 7-2 football team. But I don't think they're a 2-7 football team either. So
yeah, I think they've been robbed of a few chances of winning. Obviously, I don't think that anything is going to hurt more this season than that dropped Evan Engram ball in that one.
I'm telling you, man, the Giants beat the Buccaneers and this week. Like, no, they'd be on a 4-game win streak right now. That dropped ball, like I'm saying, Evan Engram's like, he's a bum. But anyway, like,
let me hear your closing.
You go first. You go first.
Let me hear your closing statements on the Giants then.
Yeah, because we do have to talk about the Mets.
Exactly.
Okay, so here are my closing statements on the Giants. The Giants are 2-7. The Washingtons are 2-6, but we have the tiebreaker now that we've beaten them twice. But we're both 2-2 in the division. The Eagles are the Cowboys just suck, okay? The Cowboys are not going to win the NFC East, and I was wrong about them entirely. I was hyping them up big time in the preview. I was wrong about the Cowboys.
My injuries killed them.
It really did, and it's a shame. But whatever. I don't really care that much. Like, I hate the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. Cowboys aren't going to win the division, even though they beat us, and that was their last win. They're not going to win the division. They have a fourth-string quarterback starting, and they're just not. The Giants are a better team than the Cowboys are right now. So is Washington. So are the Eagles. Like I said, the Giants need to beat the Eagles and the Cowboys. They have to win both of those games if they want any chance at the division, probably. And then in their in the Eagles' five-game sandwich, the Eagles are probably the biggest threat right now, considering they're a game and a half ahead. They have the Browns, Seahawks, Packers, Saints, and Cardinals. So that is – there is not a gimme in there. And then they have the Cowboys and then Washington as their final two. So out of their next five after this week, if the Giants can manage to beat them and then send them to Cleveland, who are 5-3 and a respectable opponent and probably better than the Eagles right now, and then Seattle, and then New Orleans, and then Arizona. Like, if they can beat them and send them down that tough road, and the Giants can win and push into their tough road with some momentum and a two-game win streak, you never know what could happen. That's all I'm saying. But, and then my final remarks are going into this week. Eagles fans, I still really dislike you. Your football team stinks.
It doesn't.
I get it that the Giants really can't beat the Eagles, and they haven't for years. But if Carson Wentz's only ability is that he can beat the Giants, then you really don't have much to be proud of. Talk to me once your organization has the same amount of rings as Eli Manning. Because every time you slander Eli Manning, he just looks in his bank account and he looks at his right hand and he sees that he's got two rings, which is one more ring than your 80-year-old grandfather has seen watching the Eagles in his whole life. So I don't want to hear it from you guys, win or loss from the Giants this week. You still suck, and you're going to get blown out by my boy Kyler Murray if you win the division. You stupid expletive, expletive, expletive. So that's my final thoughts on Eagles fans for the rest of the year, unless the Giants beat them and I get to smack talk even more.
We'll see. We'll see. I like that, though. I like that.
I mean, I have to do an Eagles fan rant every show. We have to talk about the Eagles. All right, but baseball, right?
Yeah, so let's dive into this recent Mets fiasco, if you want to call it that.
I don't think it's a fiasco. Yeah, that has a negative connotation. I don't think this has any negative connotation.
Anything but negative. So Steve Cohen, officially the owner of the Mets, after some pushback from many people, including Bill de Blasio,
I don't think anyone likes de Blasio anymore, but.
Yeah, I've never met someone that likes de Blasio, but.
Neither have I, and I don't even live in the city. But I have family that does, and they don't like de Blasio. That's good enough for me.
So after constant random obstacles in the way, it is now official. Steve Cohen is the official owner of the New York Mets. And
that's awesome.
As a Met fan, I could not be happier. I am ecstatic. I think that right now, this is the exact thing that this Mets team needs. Getting rid of the Wilpons was the greatest thing that they could have done this offseason, and they've already done it. I have no complaints about this. And the fact that Steve Cohen said this morning that he would be extremely disappointed if the Mets do not win a World Series in 3 to 5 years. I don't know.
Did you watch his press conference?
I did.
It was awesome.
It was so
like cool. Dude, talk about a winner. Like, that guy is here to win. Like, and that's pretty clear. Mm-hmm. And I'm not gonna lie, like, as much as the Mets are probably gonna piss me off for the next 10 years, it's gonna be awesome to have an East Coast rivalry for real. Mm-hmm. And not like that little brother bit. I'm still gonna say that because I have to. But like, I don't know, like, maybe you got an East Coast NL Dodgers, like, you never know, like, that could be something. And he said that thing about the big budget, and he just sounds like more of a winner of the Wilpons. And the biggest question I would have for Steve Cohen is, do you like basketball? Because yeah. That guy is the kind of guy I want owning the New York Knicks.
Because he seems like a fan. Like, it's someone that
– Yeah, he's like George Steinbrenner.
Exactly. He wants the team to win, and he'll do whatever he can to help out with that. And that's what we need at the helm. The Wilpons didn't care about that. They just cared about the money. And that completely ruined the Mets. This guy actually wants the team to win and will do whatever it takes to get there. And I respect that so much. So I'm very glad that I can say that he is the owner of the New York Mets, the owner of my favorite baseball team. And
now we have free agency. Like,
exactly.
You said that thing about the budget, like Bauer, Real Muto, Springer.
I'm going to go out there.
Training for Lindor. I could see that the Mets are probably going to get one of those four guys that I just named. I would be surprised.
Wouldn't be surprised.
Better not get DJ LeMahieu.
I saw reports of that this morning.
No, listen, like, he declined the player option, but I'm not worried at all. Like, why would you take a one-year deal coming off top five MVP voting the last 2 years? That'd be stupid.
I think
the Yankees are going to re-sign him. So yeah. I'm pretty confident that the Yankees are going to re-sign him. So, I mean, someone's going to meme that clip in like 3 weeks.
Yeah, we'll see.
Not, but
In other New York sports news, there really hasn't been too much. Obviously, we have the draft coming up.
Dude, we're so close to the draft. We're gonna get. I said it at the beginning of the show. Like,
yeah,
I'm ready for this NBA, dude. Yeah. Like, Lafreniere. I miss Knicks basketball, and I miss being disappointed by Knicks basketball.
Me too. Lafreniere officially signed with the Rangers.
Dude, he took that picture with the ball today. Did you see that?
Yeah, it was so
nice. That was awesome. That made me so happy. Mm-hmm. Bro, we're literally a week away from the draft. Holy, I didn't even realize. It was super close.
Wait, like an official, like, 7 days week?
I'm pretty sure it's next because now we're recording this at, like, midnight. It's Wednesday, November 18th, and today's November
18th. Yeah, so we're a week away. That's fire.
Yeah.
That'll be a fun episode.
Yeah, I mean.
More disappointment.
Where are we picking again, like, 8th?
Something like that. We'll have a little more input on it.
We'll talk about it next week.
Yeah, next week will be an NBA draft preview.
But, yeah, we can just talk about how the Giants got smacked by the Eagles and that too. Awesome.
Hey, look, all I gotta say is the Jets aren't gonna lose this weekend. So the
Jets cannot lose this week.
They might lose to the bye week, but
they can win if they fire Gase. But they're not gonna do that. They're too much of a wuss.
Honestly, like, firing Gase right now just does nothing. You're tanking. You're just gonna hold on to him at the end of the season. I think that.
Just looks like a jerk, dude.
I saw some reports that they might be firing Greg Williams before they fire Adam Gase.
That would not make any sense at all.
I think that might be the stupidest thing that could possibly happen. I love Greg Williams. He's had some rough patches with Adam Gase in terms of relationship, but
I'm telling you, he just looks like a jerk on the sideline.
He is a jerk.
He just looks like, dude, especially like the mask too, like. I remember when he came in, he was like a goofball with like the eyes, and now he just kind of like looks like a jerk.
There you go. Yeah, no. I completely get that. But no. You know what? You just got to hope Trevor Lawrence, first pick. Other than that, that's pretty much it.
I mean, yeah, tank. It's the official tank. Like, after that game, I feel like if you're not on board with the tank, you're just delusional if you're a Jets fan.
I completely get that.
So, yeah.
That's all the time we have for today's episode. I appreciate you all for listening.
Let's
do socials real quick.
Yeah, I just gotta make sure. It's been a few days.
Yeah, you want me to go?
You go.
All right. I'm Anthony Evangelist. I can't say my own last name. Wow. I'm Anthony Evangelista 7 on Instagram, Anthony EV7 on Twitter. And then if you want to follow the page of Big Apple Sports Media, it's Big Apple Sports Media on Instagram and Big Apple SP Media on Twitter.
Okay. So I haven't said this in a while. Hopefully I remember my whole spiel. So on Instagram and Twitter, I'm at Kyle Keegan. The L is a one. That's Kai1E Keegan on Instagram and Twitter. You already did the blog page. We're going to be back, probably only doing one episode a week for a little while because there's only football on and there's only so much news that we can fill up like 30 to 40 minutes with. So I know we did two episodes for a little while, but it kind of became exhausting with school starting back up. And it was good while it lasted and we had four sports going on and we had the Yankees playoffs and we had slivers of hope for the Jets. And we still have maybe like a bite or two of the cake left for the Giants, but it's really running out. Maybe we'll get another slice this weekend, but – yeah, we're going to be back to one episode a week for a few weeks, right?
Yeah.
It'll probably be on Monday and Tuesday. It's Tuesday. It'll be coming out Wednesday this week because we're procrastinators. And
oops.
We had a rough. And also the Jets didn't play till Monday night. So you can't really be too upset at us. So, but we're back. That's what matters. And, yeah, the holidays are coming up. So this is going to – it's an exciting time for everyone.
Well, thank you all for listening to the Big Apple Sports Media Podcast. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, guys.